The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So Mary ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but Peter did not go in. And Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary said to the angels, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, Mary said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that Jesus had said these things to her. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
A little trivia as we gather on this Easter morning. The date is June 20th, 1969. A seminal day in the history of mankind. In fact, one person might even say on that date, it was one large step for man and one large step for mankind. That was the date of the moon landing. For those born during the 50s and 60s, they might remember the great run-up to this. The excitement that human beings could leave our atmosphere, land on a foreign rock, walk on it, and come home safely. It was an effort created from scratch. They had to build new propulsion systems, new computer systems, new breathing systems, new human systems, everything from the large and complex to the small and seemingly not complex. One problem they had was that of note-taking in zero gravity. So NASA spent over $5 million. And what they did was they designed a pen. It was nitrogen-filled, it had a titanium spring, it could read pressure around it, and the pen would work because ink relies on what? Gravity. It flows through the tube, it runs down the ball, and you write. Astronauts need to take notes. Over $5 million was invested to invent the perfect space pen. The Russians, who went a year later, took this. A 3-cent pencil. Not quite as fancy as a $5 million pen, but just as effective. Sometimes we make things really complicated. Maybe we like to challenge ourselves. Maybe we think the more complicated something is, the better it is. But sometimes life isn't that complicated. Sometimes God has found the complexity of things, and sometimes God has found in the simplest moments of life. When we arise and we see the beauty of a sunrise, and we see the order of creation, that is a complex thing. God has formed the world from a void of nothingness. He has ordered the stars and the He's ordered the stars and the earth. He has separated rock from water. All these things. But we see the sunrise and we take it for its beauty. It is what it is. Soon things will be growing all around us. Spring will turn to summer. Farmers will sow seed and new life will come up in our fields. Our gardens will grow. Our flower pots will overflow. And we'll see that. And we'll take it for what it is. Yes, there is a complex science behind everything. There are genes at work. There is photosynthesis at work. There is hydration at work. There's soil sciences at work. But we sow seed, water and sun come, and new life grows. And we take it for what it is. Today we have the story of Mary at Jesus' tomb. Mary goes to Jesus' tomb, and she thinks someone has stolen the body. The other disciples who are with her go home. And she stays there and she cries. Where has Jesus gone? Angels appear and say, Mary, Jesus is not here. She sees what she thinks is the gardener, but it turns out to be Jesus. And I love that metaphor of Jesus being the gardener. Here we celebrate Easter and spring, and we see God bringing new things to life all around us. We know the work that the gardeners put into the world. They sow seed. They water the seed. They care about the seed. They go into the gardens and they uproot the weeds so that the good seed can grow. And maybe for many, Jesus is a divine gardener coming into our lives. Once in a while, spreading a little manure around in it. Picking the weeds and the things that do not bear good fruit and seeing us to a bountiful harvest. But then Mary realizes it's Jesus. They embrace in friendship. Christ says, go back. Go back to my followers and tell them these things that you have seen me. And so Mary goes back to the followers of Christ, those early disciples. And what are they doing? They've gone home. They are without hope. They have gone back to their normal lives, as we see in the readings. They've gone back to fishing. They've gone back to farming. They've gone back to the things they were doing before Christ called them to ministry. And to them, Mary goes, I have seen Jesus. She doesn't make it complex. She doesn't make it theological. She just simply says, I have seen Jesus. This is our job in life. We can feel overwhelmed by the theology of things. We don't know the 1,000 pages of the Bible verbatim, we feel. We can't wade into tough ethical questions. We don't know what to say at someone's bedside who's dying of a horrible disease. We don't know what to say to somebody whose marriage is in crisis. We don't know what to say to our friend or neighbor who as a parent is struggling with their children. And so we say nothing because we feel we don't have the proper words, the complex words, the right words, any words. We make the resurrection, we make this thing about God so complicated. When all we're called to do is simply say, we have seen Jesus. We have seen the resurrected Lord. We see the resurrected Lord in the simple things like I mentioned of sunrise, of the growing season. We see God involved in our families. We see the resurrected Lord involved in our own lives in terms of forgiveness and gift-giving and opportunity. We don't need to make it complicated. We don't need to invent a $5 million pen when a pencil will do. We are called to be with people, to look for Jesus. Where is Jesus involved in the world? What kind of things is the resurrected Lord doing? Be like Mary. I have seen Jesus. You have seen Jesus. You've seen Jesus during your times of strife, during your times of pain, and you've seen Jesus during your times of joy and hope and hopefulness. Our calling is to go in the world and say, yes, Jesus lives. Our job, our calling as Christians, isn't to figure it all out. Our calling as Christians is to simply recognize the divine mystery and divine presence of God. When I am taken by the beauty of a sunrise, I haven't figured it all out. I don't know how the lunar system works. I don't know how the gravitational pull of the Earth impacts the moon, which eventually impacts the sun. I can't even tell you why every few years we have this extra day in February. But I accept it, because I've experienced it in my life. I can't tell you the exact nature of the resurrection. I can't tell you exactly how God made it happen. But I've experienced its power in my life. I've experienced the risen Lord involved in my family, in my ministry, and in my friendships. And like Mary, sometimes all I can say is, yeah, Jesus lives. I've seen him. I've seen him lift me up. I've seen him bless me. I've seen him protect me. I've seen him walk with me. I've seen him talk to me. But I can't make it too complex. Our reading from St. Paul today says, look, here is the resurrection. And we have a brief outline of what it means for us. Christ goes to the cross and Christ conquers death. In our lives, we will go to the cross. We will experience torture and ridicule and abuse and abandonment and loneliness and disease and you name it, all the things Christ experienced. And on the cross, we see God beating them all. None of them could keep Jesus down. The same is true for our life. We have the good news of the resurrection. Ours is a Jesus that's out there. And we might mistake Christ. We might miss him. Like Mary, we might think, oh, that's the gardener. Oh, that's my sister-in-law that bugs me. That's the person at work. But Jesus is there. Jesus is building things up. Jesus is making himself known. Jesus is saying to us, hey, I'm Jesus. Here's forgiveness. Here's grace. Here's hope. Here's healing. All these things. And with that, we go into the world and say, Jesus lives. I'm not sure what more to say. The truth of the matter is there is a divine mystery at work here. There is something that I can't put words around. It's not magic. It's not sleight of hand. But it's the miraculous. I simply know things because I've experienced things. I'm not sure if I can make that true for you. I can't use the wisdom of my words to convince you the resurrection happened. I can't use complex theology to make you believe in the empty tomb. I cannot simply quote scripture at you and bend you to my will to say, yes, Jesus lives, but all I can ask you is to experience Christ. To look for Christ being involved in your daily existence. Look for Jesus involved in the small things in life. Your normal relationships, your day-to-day activities, the sun coming up in the morning, farmer's field sprouting green in a few short months, all these things, which to me hint to the larger experience of God. And then we find God involved in the small things, we find God involved in the large things. And together we come, and we can say, do we remember? What's the first part?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen, and we respond back.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen indeed. And he's in every one of our families. He's in our schools, our places of employment. He's in our hospitals. He's in our jails. He's in our communities. And he's in our lives. Let us experience that glory and that power. Thanks be to God. Amen.